Cleaning Nation, it is time to have some fun, soak up some wisdom, and get everything you need to grow a fantastic, amazing, beautiful, spectacular cleaning company. Before we do that, I just want to thank you for sharing with a friend, spreading the word, telling the world how amazing this podcast is. We've been growing like wildfire, and it is all due to you, Cleaning Nation. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes, giving us all the good ratings, following us on Facebook, all that good stuff, joining our Facebook group. Today, we are chatting with Marty Wren from Alpha Omega Building Maintenance. Alpha Omega has been serving the Kansas City area with commercial cleaning since 2003. They're redoing their website, so if you want to get a hold of Marty, the owner, who we're going to talk to here, you can get a hold of him at 816. I almost said www and then the numbers, but it's not that. You can just call him old school, 816. 820-3489. Marty, welcome to Cleaning Nation.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, glad to have you on the phone. It's funny, Marty had actually reached out to me via email or filled out a, I'm not sure. He got a hold of me somehow and he had a question. I'm like, man, I don't know that I can help you really or do any service over email, but if you want to come on the podcast, I'm happy to help you live. So that's what we're going to do. But before we do, tell Cleaning Nation a little bit about your business, how you got where you are, and where you're at in life, friend.
Okay. I was a computer programmer for 13 years and figured if I'm going to work 60, 70 hours a week, why not do it for myself? I was working part-time as a custodian at a church. And one of the ladies that was also cleaning her brother-in-law was the senior pastor, and she said, you know, you're good at this, you should start a cleaning business. And I'm thinking, yeah, right, what do I know? And so my wife and I talked about it, did some research, prayed about it, and decided, hey, this is something we should do. So we took off, and I quit my job, and she did all the admin parts, got the license, insurance, and all that together. And then in November 2003, we started out. We had two accounts, and we were specializing in churches and medical facilities, and just kind of took off from there. And we were on fire and getting referrals and business and, you know, everything we needed. It was great.
Okay, you're talking past tense, like the business has died. Is it still great or something terrible happened between now and then?
No, it's still going good. It's going. We're not doing bad.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's the cleaning business. People are not loyal. Clients aren't loyal a lot of times. They will, you know, somebody can come in and underbid you for $100 a month and people will make a change. Or, you know, it's when you're a small guy like me, it's hard to compete with the big hygienes and the corporate national chains.
Gosh,
people tend to think that that's better than going with a mom and pop.
So funny, because I think I've done a podcast or two on that topic of kind of competing with quote unquote the big guys. And if I can find it, I'll put it up in the show notes for you guys so you can link to it and check it out. But I got to tell you, I coach the big guys, I coach the little guys, brand new startups all the way up to multi-million-dollar deals. And it's so funny, the little guys are almost always afraid of the big guys. Oh, they've got all this resources and they know this, they know that, and I can't compete. Funny thing is the big guys are scared of the little guys because they're going, we've got all this overhead, or if it's a franchise, I've got all these franchise fees, I can't compete. So I've always found the grass is greener where you water it, not on the other side. So I will appreciate that feedback, Marty, and you are not alone. We've got a lot of Cleaning Nation feeling that way. And like I said, I'll see if I can find the podcast or a couple podcasts where we touched on that and give you guys some more resources. So that said, you've been in business, gosh, feels like coming up on 15 years here. Are you and your wife doing any of the cleaning, none of the cleaning? What stage of business are you in?
Right now I am doing part of the cleaning. She has the brain part of it. I do the brawn because she's smarter than me as far as the admin. She's done that and the bookkeeping and stuff. And I mainly handle operations and getting new accounts, hiring people, and, you know, that the grunt side. She's the brains, I'm the brawn.
All right. I always try and tell people I'm the brains and my wife's the looks, but she's way better looking and smarter than me. So I don't know that anyone buys it for more than about 9.5 seconds or until the moment they see her. Go, wait a second. You're not even close, dude. All right. Well, cool. Thanks for kind of updating us, keeping us getting us up to speed on where you're at. What's going on in your world today that can hopefully give you some value?
Well, I had listened to your podcast about the iceberg and wanting to be below the waterline. And I realized that I have been working with a local church here, and I've been trying to get some business. He gave me some floor stripping and waxing, carpet extraction. And so when I went to do the carpets, I came in, had the equipment, and I asked him, I said, "Do you use a cleaning service?" And he said, "Yes, we do." And I said, "So they weren't here last night because I've got to vacuum this whole carpet before I can clean it." And he said, "No, they were here. They just aren't doing a good job," and, you know, kind of grousing about it. And I said, "Well, you know, we specialize in churches because you have more unique needs than an office building, and your schedules change and you've got to be flexible." And I said, "You know, I'd like to have your business." "Well, do my floors and my carpet, we'll talk." So I did his floor work and his carpet work, and he was happy. And I said, "You know, if you're happy," I said, "let me give you a bid. I think, you know, I can give you better service." He's like, "Well, I'm going to stick with him. You know, I'm talking to the account manager." And I said, "Well, you know, with me, you don't have an account manager. You have me, the owner. So if you have a question or if you want to make a change to anything, I don't have to go back and talk to my boss to get approval. I can approve it right here on the spot. We can make the change." And he said, "Well, you know, right now, if I'm not ready," he said, "but when I'm ready, you're the guy. You're going to have my business. I'm not going anywhere else." And that's when it hit me that I'm under the iceberg. This is cool. So
right.
A couple weeks ago,
go ahead.
Yeah, he called me and he said, "You know, I've had enough. I'm sick of this. Come over, give me the bid." So I said, "Okay." So I went over, did the walkthrough with him, put the proposal together, took it back to him in a couple of days. He looked it over and he said, "You know, your price is great. I like what's going on here." He said, "But right now I'm kind of busy. I'll get back to you." I was like, "Okay." So I went back last week and I said, "Hey, you know, just wanted to check up and see what was going on." And he said, "Well, I talked to this cleaning service and they're going to put a new crew in here. So I'm not making a change." And I thought, "Why? You know, you're not happy with them. They're not giving you what you want." And I just, you know, I don't know how to make him understand that it's going to be better for him to make the change and come to us and stay where he's not happy. And I guess that's my question to you is how do you manage to do that? You know, because my customers, it's like, "Oh, you screwed up. Here's your 30 days. You're out of here."
Goodness. All right. I've been literally typing notes as we've been talking because there's so much stuff I want to get into. So I usually talk fast. Today, I'm going to just get downright ridiculous because there's so much packed in there. Couple things. First of all, I will also do my best to link to I've mentioned the iceberg concept. It's something I do periodically when I speak live as opposed to on the podcast. I will do my best to link to at least one of the podcasts where I go over that concept so everyone listening can go find out what that is without me having to burn through another couple minutes on that. So that said, you're doing a lot of things right. The fact that you are in relationship with him, you are getting yourself to be the next guy up. It's very hard to walk into a place, certainly a happy customer, and get the business. But it's very easy. I shouldn't say easy. It's comparatively much easier to walk into a place and make sure that you're the next guy up. And that when the time comes to bid, ideally, they just give you the work as long as the price is reasonable. It doesn't even go out to bid. And if it does bid, you're the first and only bidder. And they only go out to other bidders if there's a problem with your price. And even then, they're asking you to consult with them on who to hire. So you're doing 80% of it right. We just need to tweak that last 20%. Does that make you feel any better at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay, definitely, cool. I feel good about that.
Yeah, so we're halfway home. All right. So first of all, I you mentioned a couple of things. I didn't want to interrupt you, so I'm fiercely taking notes so I don't forget anything. Right at the beginning, you had mentioned, and I know it sounds like you got away with this just fine. It kind of worked, but I want to make sure that I say this to Cleaning Nation so they don't kind of take the same risk that you took. Always be very, very careful telling the people that their people did a bad job. So when you go to the church, and I know you're probably thinking, well, they did. It was terrible. I did. You know, I get all that. I'm not saying you can't say anything. You just have to be very delicate, because what that will come off to is, hey, dummy, you don't know how to hire cleaning services. The choice that you made was bad and stupid. And I know you didn't say anything near that, but you got to be real careful, because you can say, hey, looks like these guys haven't even been here. And what they hear is, you don't know how to make decisions. You're stupid and dumb. You don't know if it's that guy's brother-in-law or if he did the cleaning, or you have no idea what the background is. So always, if you say it because you're a dirty salesperson, and I'm, of course, being facetious here, it's a lie, right? Right off the bat, it comes to question. But if they say it, sure, it's the God's honest truth from the beginning of time. So I like what you did is go, hey, do you have a cleaning company? Yes, I do. Did they come in last night? Yes, they did. Oh, goodness. I'm sure this is super not typical. I'm just going to have to do some extra prep work here. I'm sure it's not their fault. No big deal. This is probably a one-time thing. Now, what do you think he's going to say when you say that?
He's probably going to, I don't know. He may go into how he's unhappy with the service, or
that's exactly what he's going to do. So he's going to grouse, which is just fine. So you saying, good Lord, man, these people haven't been here in a week or a month. What's going on here? Again, that comes off as, you don't know what you're doing. Nice job, dummy. You don't know how to hire. But when you go, oh, I'm sure it's a one-time thing. This, you know, they probably just made a mistake. I can't imagine this happens over and over. Now you've created the space for him to go, no, Marty, let me tell you, these guys are the worst. That's fine. For him to tell you how bad they are, that's fine. Because again, if he says it, it's the God's honest truth. So I don't want to spend too much time there, but I wanted to make sure we got that out of the way. Next thing, you said something that's very, I don't know how old you are, but you're probably closer to my age and that you've been doing this a while, but it was an old school thing. Yeah, you said I'd like to have your business, which is an old school kind of way to go about it. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's straightforward and honest. I'm okay with that. But it's not about what you would like, it's about what he would like, right? So we don't ever say, you want a lot of things. You might want a boat, or if you're a kid to go to Harvard, or who knows what you want. But even if you're talking to the pastor and he's the nicest guy in the world, truth be told, he's a heck of a lot more interested in what he wants than he is in what you want. So when you say things like, I'd like to have your business, he couldn't be less interested in that. But when you say things like, I'd like to fix your problem, I'd like to see how we can make your life better, I'd like to see how we can line up your cleaning service to hit your goals for your church, he is all ears. He's extremely interested. So do you see the difference in, I'd like to earn your business, or I'd like to have your business, and tell me how I can make your life just a little bit better, friend? You see that those are just worlds apart.
Yeah, and had I seen your one podcast on that before I talked to him, I would have had better ammunition.
Yeah, it's always it's tough when I talk to people that kind of been through this, that, and the other. Like, oh my goodness, why couldn't I get a hold of you, or you got a hold of me, or however you want to look at it. 2 months ago, we'd had this sorted. But and again, that particular phrase doesn't mean anything. The fact that you said, "Hey, I'd like to have your business," that doesn't mean anything. It's the mindset of where you're coming from, where the person's coming from. I'd like this. I want this. I need that. He's not interested, but the mindset of always, how can I serve you? How can I make your life better? Not how can I get you to give me money every month to clean this place? How can I make your life better? And of course, the money will come. So it's a small, it seems like a real subtle shift, but it is crucial. All right. The two things that didn't happen, actually, I've got three things and I'm going to burn through them that didn't happen. And any one of these probably could have solved your problem and you'd have the job. You'd already have the job. Or one, it doesn't sound like you said any ground rules, right? So before you ever go out and give a bid, you always discuss, for their benefit and yours, what's going to happen at the end. So when he says, hey, Marty, we're ready. Come out here and give this thing a bid. You go, oh, man, what's the guy's name?
Matt.
Matt, I'm so glad to hear from you. I can't wait to, we've been dying to get out there and just make your whole life better with what we can do. So thanks for inviting me. That said, before I come out there, we've been real friendly and you've been real kind to me. If for whatever reason I get out there and you just don't think I can do it, the price is no good, you don't like the look of my face, I drive a car that you don't, whatever the case, it doesn't make any difference. If you just don't think I'm a fit, would you do me the service, the honor, the kindness of just give me a heads up and tell me, hey, brother, I don't think this is going to work. You're going to get a yes 100% of the time. No one's going to tell you no. Okay. And you thank them. Great. I appreciate that, Matt. That said, as excited as I am to come out there and help you, I'm only excited if I think we're the absolute best fit. If for whatever reason, I don't think we're the best company to make sure that you get the result that you're looking for, can I have permission to tell you, right? I'm not just out there to win the bid. I'm out there to solve your problem. And if I'm not the right person or company, we don't have the capacity or your budget's different than what we could do, whatever reason, can I have permission to tell you that? Of course he's going to say yes. And that mm-hmm. should be sincere, right? If he needs something that you can't serve him, the goal isn't to go out there and jam him into doing business with you. It's to help the man. And if you think you're the best guy, then by all means, tell him so. If you don't, then treat him square and tell him you don't think that's the case. So once you've got those two commitments, and you're going to get those two commitments 9 out of 8 times, you say, okay, Matt, so if I come out there and for whatever reason, I'm not able to disqualify you, I think we're going to be able to absolutely solve your pain top to bottom. And you're super excited. And you think that we're going to be the best fit and we're going to be able to help you get where you want to go. What would you like to see happen next?
Okay.
9 times out of 8, again, he's going, well, what do you mean what I want to see that? We're going to get you signed up. Oh, okay. Just wanted to make sure. Or he might give you some sort of objection or problem that's going to happen. You want to know that objection now, not later. That objection might be, well, I got to take it to the board, right? We meet every, or the elder board or whomever, whatever their organizational structure is. We meet once a month and I got to take it to them. Which is good. You want to know that now, not later, because then you can deal with it. Well, we specialize in churches, and I found that when we give a bid and then it goes to the board, what happens is the board has different questions, and then we start all over again a month from now. And I found it be real frustrating for churches and for, you know, you guys got bigger fish to fry, quite frankly, than fooling around with this thing. If you'd like, I would be happy to come to the elder board, maybe the first 5 minutes of the meeting or the last 5 minutes, whenever is more convenient, answer any questions you have, present my bid then. So everyone else can have that same thing. If they don't like me, they can just tell me right then. And for whatever reason, I think there's an issue, I can at least give the whole elder, you know, I just want to make sure we've got enough information. So you see how you can start kind of preparing for that up front, as opposed to kind of being surprised with it at the end.
Right. Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Okay. I've got so much to go through. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to burn through it. Budget. You always find out the budget before you give them the bid, not after. Because he said it was a good price, but you don't know that's the case. You want to know what the budget is or what they're trying to spend before you give them the bid, not after. And your price is going to be your price, but you can kind of do, you know, if you think it's going to be $1,500 and his budget's $1,200, you can kind of say, well, for $1,500, I can get everything you need. For $1,200, you know, we won't be able to do as much, but we can still meet your budget. But again, you can't have those conversations until you know what their budget is. So that's the first thing. Second, then, is speak to their pain. The big reason you probably didn't make the move is you didn't really get in on that pain. So when he said, oh, these other guys suck, I'm finally fed up, the right answer is not, I'll be right out there. It's, tell me about that. Do you have an example? Be specific. How'd that make you feel? Right. What have you tried? How much is this costing you? What's your life like dealing with this? How could it be? You see how you start. These are the conversations. This is where he needs to be. People do not make, they'll tell you they make decisions based on logic. They do not. They make it on emotion. The reason he didn't move, it was more painful for him to make a transition from the devil he knows, so to speak, to the unknown of you, right? It was more painful for him to switch than it was to stay. One of the ways that you can fix that is not increase his pain, but help him get in touch with his pain in terms of, the congregation's yelling at me and I picked this guy. He is my nephew and everybody's pissed. And whatever the case is, there's a lot of data in there that you need to help you help him. But if you don't ask his pain, right, you don't understand what's making him crazy. You can't go about solving it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it sure does. That was one thing he did tell me, that a lot of the church office staff and everything are complaining about the cleanliness and the, you know, the shape the church was into.
So then another question. When he says that, you go, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry to hear that. So tell me about that. What would that conversation sound like? What's going to happen if you don't get it fixed? How will that affect your life? You see how these are very different questions than, are we going to clean this here? Do you want the vacuuming there? And we hide dust? And, you know, that's not where you need to be. You need to be in his emotions. The last thing, and then we're going to hit the lightning round because we're running out of time, is make the switch easy, right? That's the one thing. There's pain. One of the pains that you had to probably come up with had you asked them is, I don't want it. These guys are so nice and I don't want to talk to them. And they've been here for 5 years and they've been good people and they go to the church, whatever stuff he's got going on there, and then help him, right? Make a package. We're like, oh, anytime we take over a church, we call the old people for you. We get the keys and make the transition. You don't even have to talk to them. We get the new contract, the service group, and it's only 2 pages. We bring that out to you. We get all your keys re-keyed for the whole church as part of our service. Whatever you need to do to make that transition easy. So he's like, oh, I thought it was going to be a big headache, but good Lord, Marty's got it all handled. I don't have to do anything. Sure, let's do this thing. So that's the last. So those are the three things. One, four. Make it about him, not about you. Two, set good ground rules as to what's going to happen before you go out there. Three, get their pain and speak to that, not the logical stuff. And four, make the transition, the switch, super super easy. So ideally, you're going to do all those things at the front end because that ship has sailed. The good news is you can do these at the back end. So you don't have to be like, well, that, great, but what do I do now? You still do those exact same things. Set a ground rule. Try and get another appointment. Set a ground rule. Understand his pain. Make the switch easy. You can do all those things now. All right. I could go on and on, but we're running out of time. And I want to make sure that you get your opportunity to share with Cleaning Nation the lightning round. I'm going to ask you three quick questions. You're going to give three quick answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Don't expect what you don't inspect, because in this business, inspection is real critical, and it's better that me as the owner or the supervisor or whoever finds a discrepancy before the client does, because that just gives them, you know, puts down in their mind that, wow, is this the right company for what my needs are?
That's a veteran answer right there. Marty, well said. Question two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that maybe you can save some others from making?
Don't get complacent. Don't get to a point where you're saying to yourself, man, I'm making money while I'm sleeping, and you think that the business can run itself without you, because you're going to be in for a bad surprise.
That is certainly a potential reality, my friend. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away? Something easily implementable.
Stay on top of the inspection, because, you know, you can go out and tell every prospective client you're the best in the world. And then you come in, and if they start seeing discrepancies because you don't have the inspection set up, it's, you know, inspect. That's the biggest thing I can tell them.
I liked it all three times you said it, my friend. Marty, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, when you want to check out Marty's show notes page, get all those links that we mentioned, and get everything you need to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.